Today's gospel, we hear Jesus calling the 12 apostles, giving them an assignment, which is really going to be to carry out his ministry to the people who they encounter. And he is going to build the church on the foundation of the 12 apostles. Really, there is a parallel in the Old Testament of the nation of Israel and their covenant relationship with God, and the covenant relationship within the church, which is again founded on these 12 apostles. Israel was founded on the 12 tribes. In the New Covenant, we have the 12 apostles. In the Old Testament, the revelation of God is transmitted through the law, the Ten Commandments, and the prophets. And in the New Covenant, it's going to be transmitted through the word and deed of Jesus Christ that the apostles directly encounter and then go out to share. But there are any number of parallels, really, between Israel and her covenant with Yahweh and Jesus with the church and the eternal covenant, which is one on his cross. And as such, there are many lessons which are taken from the Old Testament which are going to apply equally to the church of today. In today's first reading from the prophet Hosea, we see him pointing out that Israel had grown luxuriant in her relationship with God. Israel was going through a time of particular prosperity and luxury, and in that prosperity and luxury, she forgot about her relationship with God, she forgot about the covenant, and she went about the business of erecting different altars or sacred pillars to different gods, and as a result, completely lost her way. It's interesting, though, that it's oftentimes in the position of luxury or prosperity where it becomes easy to forget about God and to drift away from Him. And in fact, something very similar has happened over the course of time in the history of the church. In fact, more or less, one could even say that just about every 500 years, the church had a kind of issue of growing somewhat luxurious or overly prosperous, of becoming slightly compromised in her mission, of becoming too entangled with secular affairs or money, and ultimately needed to be brought back and reformed. And usually in precisely those moments, God would raise up great saints who would once again return the focus entirely on Jesus Christ and entirely on the mission which Jesus had given to his apostles. And so, for example, in the 5th century, when the church was getting somewhat more prosperous in her status, it was Saint Benedict who left Rome, went out into the hill country surrounding Rome, and founded the Benedictines. And also, of course, his sister Scholastica, founding the female counterpart. It really was the Benedictines who were focusing on a life entirely on Christ in work and in prayer who laid the foundation of much of the best of what Western civilization and Western culture became. But it precisely was that movement away from prosperity into the simplicity of life that gave Benedict that singular focus on Christ. 500 years later, in the 11th century, the church once again was embroiled in secular controversy, namely the appointment of bishops was being fought over, whether it was done by secular powers or by the Pope, and the papacy itself had become slightly compromised at that point. And it was a great monk by the name of Hildebrand who became Pope Gregory VII, who led a tremendous reform, which in fact gives us the rules for electing the Pope that we have today, but who ultimately once again returned the focus to Christ and to say the most important part here is we need to be preaching the mission of Jesus Christ. Fast forward another 500 years to the 16th century, and once again the church was in a position of becoming rather prosperous, materially speaking, or rather luxurious. And precisely at that time, there were great saints like St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Francis Xavier, and St. Ignatius of Loyola, who once again were able to go back and to return that focus to say, our primary mission must be on proclaiming Jesus Christ. If we fast forward another 500 years from there, that arrives us to the day and age that we are living in now. And once again, we can see we're at a point where, even within the church, there's this constant call of reform to go back and to say, We need to be able to separate ourselves from positions of compromise that entangle us or make us beholden to different secular powers. And we need to be able to focus on the mission that has been entrusted to us of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the truth of the gospel, to proclaim the truth of who man is in relationship with God, and to proclaim the truth and the hope that we receive in the gift of salvation from Jesus. So, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask God for the grace that even in this time that he would raise up great saints who would help to focus the church on this mission that Jesus entrusted originally to the 12 apostles. The church would be focused on going out to do as Jesus Christ himself had done. The church would focus on this mission of Jesus to proclaim him and to proclaim the truth that God has entrusted to us, without compromise. Amen.